A reading from the book of Genesis. After the man, Adam, had eaten of the tree, the Lord God called to the man and asked him, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, but I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself." Then he asked, "Who told you that you were naked? You have eaten then from the tree of which I had forbidden you to eat." The man replied, "The woman whom you put here with me, she gave me fruit from the tree, and so I ate it." The Lord God then asked the woman, "Why did you do such a thing?" The woman answered, "The serpent tricked me into it, so I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, you shall be banned from all the animals and from all the wild creatures. On your belly shall you crawl, and dirt shall you eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will strike at your head, while you strike at his heel." The man called his wife Eve, because she became the mother of all the living. Verbum Domini. Reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians. Brothers and sisters, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavens, as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world to be holy and without blemish before him. In love, he destined us for adoption to himself through Jesus Christ, in accord with the favor of his will, for the praise of the glory of his grace, that he granted us in the Beloved. In him we were also chosen, destined in accord with the purpose of the one who accomplishes all things according to the intention of his will, so that we might exist for the praise of his glory, we who first hoped in Christ. Verbum Domini.
Dominus vobiscum.
Et cum spiritu tuo.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Lucam.
Gloria tibi, Domine.
The angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And coming to her, he said, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at what was said, and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of David his father, and he will rule over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." But Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I have no relations with a man?" And the angel said to her in reply, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, And this is the sixth month for her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible for God. Mary said, Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word. Then the angel departed from her. Verbum Domini. It was on March 24th in the year 1858 that Saint Bernadette told her family that evening that she was feeling once again prompted, impelled, to go to the Grotto of Massabielle the next morning. And so early, when the sun was just rising, she arose, she dressed, and ran hastily to the Grotto at Massabielle. Our Lady had already appeared to her 15 times, and this was the 16th apparition. It was also the solemnity of the Annunciation, and the same gospel that we just heard was read that day. On the old calendar as well as in the new, Luke 1 is read both on December 8th and on the Solemnity of the Annunciation. So this was the gospel of the day, the account of the angel Gabriel saying that she is, and he's a messenger from God, sent from God. He refers to her, first of all, by that which best describes her, Hail, full of grace. And so on the Solemnity of Annunciation, on March 25th, 1858, when Bernadette arrived, there's already thousands of people there. They, too, had been prompted to come to the grotto. And Our Lady was already there. And she described Our Lady as looking upon the faithful who were there like a mother looks upon her children, with great tenderness, with great love for all of those who had gathered there. And during the apparition, as Bernadette had done many times, and she was prompted by the pastor because she had gone to him twice already and told him, well, the one who appeared to me, that she said that you're to build a chapel. And then again, that processions are to come here. He said, well, who is this lady? Who is this lady? And so Bernadette says to her, who are you? And as she had done before, the beautiful lady simply bowed her head and smiled. She didn't respond. And Bernadette, she said she just felt impelled interiorly to ask her again, who are you? Again, the beautiful lady bowed her head and smiled. But again, she feels impelled to just persevere. And on the third time, here is what she described took place. She said, the lady was standing above the rose tree in a position very similar to that shown in the miraculous medal. Well, back in 1830, so 18 years prior, or 28 years prior, that already Our Lady had appeared to St. Catherine Labouré with this medal that she wanted to be struck that had, O Mary conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee. And this has become very popular. It was known as a miraculous medal, this medal of the Immaculate Conception, because of so many miracles that had taken place. So already there was a preparation for this dogma to be proclaimed. So St. Bernadette said the lady was standing above the rose tree in a position very similar to that shown in the miraculous medal. At my third request, her face became very serious, and she seemed to bow down in an attitude of humility. Then she joined her hands and raised them to her breast. She looked up to heaven. Then slowly opening her hands and leaning forward towards me, she said to me in a voice vibrating with emotion, "I am the Immaculate Conception." Now, something remarkable is that it was 18 years after this event and Bernadette had entered the convent, but the local bishop had asked her to write to Pope Pius IX. So Pope Pius IX, Blessed Pius IX, he had, as a young man, he had suffered from epilepsy. And many said that it was really remarkable that he was even ordained a priest because of this infirmity that he had. But St. Vincent Pallotti told him to go to Our Lady of Loreto, that he would be healed, and he even predicted that he would be the Pope one day. And indeed he was. And so he was eventually elected the Pope. He had the second longest papacy in history after St. Peter. Peter, we believe, was the Pope for 35 years. Pope Pius IX for 32 years, and it was a very difficult papacy. And during a particular difficult time, he had written a letter to all of the bishops of the world saying that he intended to proclaim as a dogma of the faith the Immaculate Conception of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And he wanted the bishops of the world to pray for this. And there were a number of prayers that he gave to them. But he also wanted to know, well, what is the response of your people toward this? And without any dissent whatsoever, but rather with great joy and enthusiasm, they responded that they wanted this to be proclaimed. And so it was on December 8th, 1854, that he proclaims this a dogma of the faith, that Mary, as our readings today point to, she is full of grace. And our prayers today speak of why this was necessary. Why was it necessary? Because of the incarnation. Really, Mary's Immaculate Conception points to the incarnation. Our opening prayer, our collect, said this: to prepare a worthy dwelling for your Son. So no part of this vessel, a worthy dwelling for her Son, could have ever been under the reign of Satan. And then our preface today will say that you might prepare, that she was given this fullness of your grace, that you might prepare a worthy mother for your Son. So this points to the incarnation, why this was necessary, that she would be immaculately conceived. And it was something Franciscans were preaching, like St. Leonard of Port-Maurice, centuries before, and that they were very instrumental in bringing about this proclamation of the dogma and showing how it was theologically possible in light of the graces that our Lord would merit, that she'd be given them preveniently in light of the merits of her Son. So on December 8th, 1854, Blessed Pius IX would proclaim this a dogma of the faith. It was 4 years later that Our Lady appears to confirm this dogma at Lourdes: I am the Immaculate Conception. Well, a friend of ours, a Mariologist, Dr. William Thomas, had the opportunity to visit the Vatican Secret Archives. And in that, he photocopied an actual letter that Bernadette wrote to Blessed Pius IX. This is the photocopy of it, written in French, that Bernadette dictated to her mother superior, but that she signed herself in her patois, French. And it's quite a remarkable letter. Again, it was written 18 years after the apparitions at Lourdes, where she said that she was asked by the local bishop to write this letter. She would never have done so on her own, but the bishop, local bishop, had encouraged her to write this letter. And it's a letter where she's saying she's offering her prayers, she's offering her sufferings, and she'll continue to do so. But here's what she wrote to him, a section of the letter. She said, "It seems to me that when I pray for the intentions of your holiness, that from heaven the most blessed Virgin must often cast her maternal eyes on you, most holy Father, because you have proclaimed her immaculate. I like to believe that you are particularly loved by this good mother, since only 4 years after she appeared herself on earth to confirm the same and to say explicitly, 'I am the Immaculate Conception.' I did not know what that meant." You know, when she heard this, she's a 14-year-old girl. She had never heard this phrase before. It had been proclaimed a dogma, but the parish priest had never preached on it. And so she's repeating it, and the people are saying, "Well, what did she say?" She said, "I'm the Immaculate," and she didn't get the word conception quite right when they said, "Well, it's conception, conception." So she's repeating it when she goes to the pastor, and this is her name. This is what she said: "I'm the Immaculate Conception." And he almost falls over because he knew that indeed it was Our Lady. He had never preached on this dogma. She had never heard this Immaculate Conception. And so he knew that indeed it was the Heavenly Lady. So Bernadette continued in her letter to Blessed Pius IX, "I did not know what that meant. I had never heard these words before. Since then, on reflection, I often say to myself that the Blessed Virgin is good. It looks like she came to confirm the words of our Holy Father. That's what makes me believe that she has to protect you in a very special way. I hope that the good mother will have pity on her children, that she will deign to put her foot again on the head of the cursed serpent, and thus put an end to the cruel ordeals of the Holy Church and to the pain of her august and much-loved pontiff." In this letter, and I'll conclude with this, she said, "Our Lord loves to be bothered. Our Lord loves to be bothered by either the small people or the general populace, either the poor or the rich, because he gives of himself to each one equally." And that's what we heard in the second reading today of St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians. In love, he destined us for adoption to himself. Jesus is son by nature, but we are made children of God by grace. We are his adopted children. We are co-heirs with Christ. And just like Mary, when Bernadette arrived at that grotto on March 25th, 1858, she sees Our Lady looking with such motherly care on all of those that had gathered there. So she's looking upon each of us, that she truly is our mother, and that as sin is something that brings division, and we experience that, don't we, so often, Mary's that one that's full of grace. She's so close to us because there's no thing that stands in the way. There's no sin in her. That she truly is now the new mother of all the living, who helps us to follow her Son, who loves us. And my concluding words that today in the United States, we celebrate this feast day. It's a patronal feast of the United States of America, which is why we have a National Basilica of the Immaculate Conception in Washington, D.C. That's a shrine for the United States. And it was in 1846 that the bishops of Baltimore petitioned Blessed Pius IX to give them permission, before the dogma had been proclaimed, to put this nation under the patronage of the Immaculate Conception, which he consented to. 1846. And what was the day? May 13th. 71 years before Our Lady of Fatima appeared. And so this should give us heart, my dear people of the United States. And let us all offer an extra rosary today for our country under the patronage of the Immaculata, she who is the Immaculate Conception, she who will and has and can obtain so many graces from her Son for our country and for the world.